I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Now we head into the barbershop where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance journalist Jimmy Israel with us from Cleveland. In New York City, Kai Wright, the editorial director of ColorLines.com. Joining us here in Washington, D.C., R. Clark Cooper. He heads Log Cabin Republicans. That's an organization that works within the Republican Party to advocate for gays and lesbians. He's also an Army Reserve captain. And also here in D.C., Corey Date, NPR digital news correspondent. Take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
What's up, man?
Hooah.
Wonderful.
Come on. What's going on?
Hooah. I don't know what else you need, but a hooah.
Okay. I guess I'll take it, right? Hooah.
Yeah.
All right. So,
all right, there you go.
Right, let's get things started. You know, this week, President Obama became the first sitting American president to openly support gay marriage. Backers call it a historic moment. A civil rights victory for LGBT Americans, while critics say President Obama is inconsistent and this is political maneuvering. Guys, you know what? I want to know what you think of this. R. Clark Cooper, Coop,
hey.
You get the floor first. You're a conservative gay man who's been critical of Obama in the past and even on this issue and even about this announcement. Okay, why?
Well, let's start with the first things first. It was the right thing to say. So I want to make that clear. What the president said was the right thing to say. It is the position that has raised the bar on this discussion on the freedom to marry. So where the critique comes in is on the timing of the rollout. And some have called it, is it a distraction from the major issue of the economy? Also, was it a calculated rollout tied to money that was waiting in the wings that came forth this week in places like Hollywood? But the bottom line here is that it has raised the bar as far as marriage is concerned. And so the president's personal announcement to support the freedom to marry certainly has helped change the climate at a certain level. So the favorability.
Wait, can I just ask this? You must be in advanced yoga because the positions that you are twisting into here fascinate. This is your statement on this the day of the announcement that the president has chosen today when LGBT Americans are mourning the passage of Amendment 1. You're talking about it, North Carolina
yeah.
to ban same-sex marriage in the state constitution. You said to finally speak up for marriage equality is offensive and callous. That's what you said on the day of the announcement.
Mm.
And then your candidate, Mitt Romney, came out saying he doesn't even support civil unions.
And I'm not defending, by the way, Governor Romney on his position on this. So, you know, Log Cabin Republicans actively advocates for the freedom to marry. In fact, we work with that organization on Capitol Hill to repeal DOMA, which is the Defense of Marriage Act, which is the current federal statute out there that does not allow for same-sex recognition interstate-wide. So we're sharp on.
But I guess what I'm asking is, you're saying he's being cynical, but aren't you?
Am I being cynical?
Yeah,
no.
I mean,
this is we're probably being the most honest on this issue. We were probably one of the few of LGBT groups that said, "Hey, good, but hold on. Look at how this came." So if one looks back at where we were several days ago, prior to the announcement, it wasn't just Log Cabin that was concerned about this. So, like I said, good that he said it. Good on him. It's raised the bar on the issue, and we now have the most senior voice in the United States, and in many cases in the world. Having a head of government take such a position is helpful on the macro. But one does look, if you look at the broader picture on the issues, was this a shiny distraction?
Okay,
well, okay, so that criticism doesn't hold water for me. So if he wasn't going to do it, you know, I mean, so if not now, when? I mean, what day would you have had him do it on? I mean, what? I mean, come on, that whole criticism is just
after Mitt Romney.
Nope. Yeah, well, right.
You're going to have to ask Valerie Jarrett that question.
Guy Wright. Guy Wright's written a lot about this. So you've written a lot about sexual orientation and politics. We've talked about it before. Guy, where are you on this?
The timing was perfect, I think, in terms of following the North Carolina vote to come out and make a moral stance. But I think actually two bigger things have gotten lost quickly in the sort of debate about the partisan politics of it. One is returning to a core principle here, the biggest enemy that gay and lesbian people have always faced is the shame and fear that keeps both us and our supporters in the closet. And what Obama did this week was stand up and say, listen, I'm coming out as believing that my gay friends' relationships have the same dignity as my own. And that's a really important historic thing. And the second thing that's gotten lost is, you know, as we've started to debate, well, how will African Americans react to this, is we're losing, and I think we saw this in North Carolina, we're losing the understanding that there's been a huge shift in the black community over the last 10 or 15 years that has mirrored the shift in America overall around not just same-sex marriage, but the rights and the dignity of gay people overall. And there have been a huge number of black faith leaders. In North Carolina, one of the most outspoken most aggressive spokespeople for gay relationships was the Reverend William Barber, who led the NAACP chapter there and was eloquent in his defense of the rights of gay and lesbian people. And so we're seeing a sea change, and the president standing up at I think is going to have a huge effect amongst African Americans who are debating the issue to say, oh, well, maybe I should think differently about this. And so
go ahead. Kai, you know, I've never given that trope of the homophobic black American much of anything. I think what's happening in the black church is that the black church is getting younger. The younger the people are, you know, the minds are open. I mean we all got a gay homeboy. I mean, even your girlfriend might have a girlfriend. So nobody's tripping about it anymore. It's not no big deal.
It's really right, Jimmy. It's really right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like the older heads are still thumping that Bible and they're believing what their great grandmother's grandmother told them, but the young heads are getting down with Nicki Minaj and, you know, the whole bounce movement in New Orleans, you know, and even house music is coming back. So it's like no one's tripping.
That generational shift is applicable in the Republican Party. So the younger the Republican, the more supportive they are in gay rights.
Well, the other thing that always fascinates me is that people associate this issue with African-Americans being African-Americans, but is the issue among committed churchgoers with a conservative Christian stance.
Well, and Michelle, the polling supports
that's
that.
That's all it is.
The polling absolutely supports that.
Well, Corey's been checking on this. Corey Day, do you want to talk about
it? Sure, Michelle. I think what we're talking about is sort of a little bit of an overstatement of blacks' opposition to gay marriage. I think Kai referenced that a Pew Research poll showed that black opposition has dropped to 49% from 67% in 8 years. But the more significant thing is the biggest decline has happened since 2008. So what's happened since 2008? They elected a black president. The emergence of young voters who are more open to gay rights, the expansion of domestic partner benefits, in the workplace, a modest increase in civil unions in certain jurisdictions, and then a weakening of the Christian conservative movement within the GOP. So all these things become this pot that stirs and influences opinion. As far as African Americans are concerned, the bigger question is whether or not Obama's position now changes the discourse among black families that still are not en masse embracing their homosexual family members.
But why
that's
wouldn't
a bigger
it in the same
who are these
wait,
black
hold on,
people,
hold on. Corey? Let me just jump in. But why wouldn't it in the same way that when George W. Bush, as president, stood up and went to a mosque in the wake of 9/11 and said, these people are not our enemy. Terrorism is our enemy, not Islam. And that had an effect on the opinion of white evangelical Christians among whom he was a thought leader. Why wouldn't it have the same effect among African Americans?
Well, I think I'll point you to something I wrote yesterday. There's a study that a political scientist did in Chicago. They took – it was essentially a phone banking sort of poll experiment where they had callers call black people and ask them to support gay marriage. The callers who were black got much more of a positive response from the respondents because it was one of their own community asking them to change their mind about an issue. So it could really happen with Obama stepping forward.
Clark, can I just ask you finally, do you think, though, that this might have the equal effect of galvanizing support among white conservative Christians who are not in love with Obama anyway, and galvanizing support around Mitt Romney, to whom they have been lukewarm?
That is yet to remain to be seen. In fact, that's something all GOP strategists are looking at right now. What it has done is it has defined or will determine definition within the GOP on where Republican lawmakers and policymakers lie. So, you know, this includes fellow GOP strategist Steve Schmidt. He and I have talked about this. John Weaver is that we're at the point now where we are at a crossroads in the GOP where people are either going to stand up for some sort of legal recognition of same-sex couples, be it civil unions like Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey, or full marriage equality like Chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee Ilhan Roslagen, or what we've seen now where Governor Romney's come out in a position of opposition. And people are going to have to pick a side, and the chips will fall where they fall, and that will be determined by the electorate as well as voting Republicans. But this is the lines are being defined right now.
We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with R. Clark Cooper of the Log Cabin Republicans. That's who was talking just now. Kai Wright of ColorLines.com is with us from New York. Corey Dade is our NPR digital correspondent. And, of course, Jimmy Israel is with us. Back to you, Jimmy.
Oh, back to me. All right.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm sorry. I know you wanted to talk about this article in The Post that ran this a front page piece about, speaking of GOP presumptive nominee Mitt Romney, saying that he actually led an attack on a fellow student when he was in prep school, where he, you know, helped, you know, pin the kid down and cut off his hair because the kid had dyed his hair blonde. And Mitt Romney said he doesn't remember the incident, but we'll just play a short clip. He talked to Fox News about this. Here it is.
I certainly don't believe that I, or I can't speak for other people, of course, but thought the fellow was homosexual. That was the furthest thing from our minds back in the 1960s.
But, Jimmy, you know, you've talked a lot about the things that you think should be on bounds and out of bounds. But the Post made the argument that, you know, that his supporters, Mitt Romney's supporters, have cited his teenage years to sort of say what a sense of humor he has, and he's not the stiff that he appears. So in that context, do you think it's fair? Do you think it's fair or not?
I do not think it's fair. I think it's biting him both ways, but I don't think it's fair. None of us are fully formed people as teenagers. You know, I'm not convinced you can glean anything about the feelings of an adult from the actions of a child. I'm not saying. I mean, what do you say? You know, I mean, it's not like he was setting cats on fire. You know, which is like, you know, I mean, that's psychotic. I mean,
was psychotic too.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Go ahead.
This is
certainly psychotic, but you're
presuming it did occur because the family members of the alleged victim and classmates have come out later this week saying that this story's bunk. So as we say in military intelligence, verify, which is supposedly the rule of journalism.
But they
as
also
well.
Reported that some of these gentlemen who came forward who say they were part of this incident say that they were so troubled by it that even as adults they felt a need to apologize to this gentleman. And these people are on the record. So I don't know. I wasn't there.
And now this family's putting out a statement today.
Okay. Well, but actually I think, again, so
you
there's so a larger
issue. Just to tie up on a Clark, you don't buy it. You just don't buy it. You just don't think it happened.
I just say that all the data points aren't in, and that's why I said this. I think there was a leaping before looking on publication at this point. So, you know, but I think the jury's out on this. And frankly, I go back to the earlier point is that, look, teenagers are teenagers, and, you know, I mean, do I need to declare on here, or maybe I should? You know, I played mailbox baseball, and if you don't know what that is, you didn't grow up in a rural area. Yeah, right?
No, I didn't.
So, you know, I mean,
you got me on
is that,
that
the same as, like, Halloween trick-or-treating on your elevator line?
No.
No,
not
sorry.
At all.
No. Never mind. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kai, why don't you tie a bow on it? You think it
but
is
you know
fair.
What? None of the – no, I agree with Jimmy that, you know, what happened in high school was a long time ago, and whether it did or did not happen, you know, it was a long time ago. The question for Governor Romney is how is he as an adult on respecting people who don't look like him and act like him? And, you know, and I think, again, there's a larger issue here that's actually revealed in Mitt Romney's comment about it. And, you know, and he said, well, we certainly weren't thinking if we did that kind of thing, we certainly weren't thinking about his sexuality. And I think this is really important because we see today in the bullying that we have such a problem that we now know has been going on since 1965, the issue is perceived. The issue is that people who look different, who are perceived to be gay, who are perceived to be transgender, who are perceived to be something, get violently bullied, and it's a big deal, and it remains a big deal today. You know, and so whatever we think about whether Mitt Romney did it or not, I hope that it's another reminder of the fact that this isn't the same as mailbox baseball. This isn't just teenagers being teenagers. It's a big deal when kids get bullied.
Well, let me just point out that just the family member said who the surviving family member, the gentleman who was the victim of this attack, passed away. The family member issued a statement saying that she did not hear this from her brother. So not that it never happened, but that her brother never told her about this. And I don't know.
So there was no rosebud.
I don't know. I had a brother too, and he didn't tell me everything that happened to him in his life. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know. I will say though that if you don't mind my saying that as a person who attended boarding school and was later on the board of one, I mean, there has been a sea change in attitude about hazing of any stripe directed at any person. I mean, it was common back in the day, and it was never thought of as a problem. And the attitude about it has changed, 360 degrees since that time about the kind of behavior that was tolerated among peers and that doesn't justify it. I'm just saying that, it's so hard to say. The kind of behavior that people thought was normal back then is just not at all acceptable today, that adults turned a blind eye to. That's all I've
and as Kai said earlier,
my personal experience.
I mean, as Kai said earlier, looking at where we are now, it's to say that bullying is not acceptable. And this is why you have across the board, including great conservatives like Governor Huckabee, have on his show talk about the issue of bullying. So this is something that has been brought forward as far as what is unacceptable. It's a no-go zone.
Corey, I'll give you the final word, and it's just your digital media guy. Is this hot on the block? Is this story hot on the block or not?
It is hot. Anything involving Mitt Romney is going to be hot. Anything that would sort of suggest that he was homophobic or that he gay-bashed is going to be hot. The question is whether or not it has any legs, and it probably doesn't beyond the moment.
Jimmy, does it have legs or not?
Nah. Jimmy? Nope. None.
Well, we know not with you.
There's no there. There's no there. I mean, he might have egged his neighbors too. I mean, I don't know. There's just no there there.
Kai, there or no there?
It's a bad week for Romney for this to come out, but in the end, this election is going to be about the economy, not any of this stuff.
Kai Wright is editorial director at ColorLines.com. That's a daily news site covering race, politics, and culture. He was with us from our bureau in New York. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist and presidential fellow at Case Western Reserve University, with us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Corey Dade is a correspondent for NPR's Digital News. He was here in Washington, D.C., along with R. Clark Cooper, the executive director of the Log Cabin Republicans. That's a group that advocates for gays and lesbians and their issues within the Republican Party. He's a captain in the Army Reserve as well. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.
Hoa.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more on Monday.